thanks go to Hartbury University and College, Harper Adams University, NFU Mutual, Thring Solicitors, DataTag, and Nugent Engineering for supporting Series 2 of Keeping on Track. Hi, I'm Adam Henson. Welcome to the second series of Keeping on Track, a podcast series made by the farming community for the farming community. When we started this series, one of the things that came up time and again as a big cause of stress and anxiety for farmers was public perception, the way we feel perceived and treated by the public. A lot of people told us it has quite an impact on mental health. Today, we're having a closer look at that.
Thank you, Adam. I'm Dominic Arkwright. Yep, today we're talking about public perception of farming. What do people think of farmers? Are they right? What can farmers do to help people appreciate what they're doing? Let's start with a range of views from different perspectives in and around farming. You'll hear from Caroline Nye from the Centre for Rural Policy Research, Annie Wynne from the Addington Fund, farm contractor James Bannister, and finally David Rose, a specialist in change in agriculture and visiting fellow at the Royal Agricultural University. Here goes.
This is something that has been coming up in our research for years, even before we started looking at farmer health and well-being. And it's true that the majority of farmers feel misunderstood. They feel very, very far away from their consumer.
I think, yeah, it's potentially a lack of education, not in the farming industry, but from the outside the farming industry, of not actually understanding that there are people behind the production. I think people have a lack of connection. They're completely disconnected to, as I say, to the food that they eat, where it comes from. I think then you're facing challenges such as Peter saying that it's, you know, there's animal welfare issues all the time. And I do think it's a lack of education, which has essentially got us here.
I can remember in the 60s and 70s, kids went to visit farms. So they understood where your food came from. They don't understand where the food comes from these days. They don't understand that we're actually supplying them with food. You know, they all go to Tesco's or wherever. They're trying to do is get us onto a plant-based diet. I'm sorry, I don't agree with it.
They feel like they're blamed for many things, such as climate change, such as the deterioration of biodiversity. So, you know, whether they've experienced it directly or it's just a general feeling that they get, it's definitely a problem. And I think that they in particular feel like this has been accentuated by the media.
And the other thing as well, people, they see the subsidies that farmers get. They don't realise the subsidies are there to keep them on low price food.
For farmers to struggle and work very long hours, getting that essential food to people in this country, and then to face criticism about things like climate change or from animal rights or vegan activists, or just from members of the public behaving very badly on farmland, dogs attacking livestock, for example. I think it's very hard to take when you're so clearly an essential worker, but in some cases feel so undervalued by the people that couldn't survive without you.
And that's worth thinking about. Are you actually undervalued, or do you just feel undervalued? Here's Stuart Roberts, Hertfordshire farmer and recent deputy president of the NFU.
So actually, first of all, let's ask ourselves what the reality is. So every survey that is done of, you know, what is your opinion of X, okay? We are consistently beaten by one sector, right? And that's nursing, okay? I would probably vote for nursing ahead of farming as the most popular sector. But we are virtually always second. So when you actually listen to the general public, they are massively supportive of British farming. That's why there was well over a million signatures on that petition a few years ago that was backing British farming when we were going through the, if you like, the forerunner to the trade deals that were done.
And this feeds into the work done by Professor Matt Lobley and his team at the Centre for Rural Policy Research at Exeter University.
But what we frequently get is the majority of farmers saying things along the lines of, nobody understands us, nobody wants us, nobody supports us. You know, it's all kind of negative. We're always really interested in this because when you look at a lot of kind of public opinion surveys about farming, at a kind of general level, the public are often very, very supportive of farmers, hold them in high esteem, recognise the importance of what they do. I mean, let's face it, you know, farmers are the people we all need, you know, at least three times a day or more if we can fit it in. So a lot of the public are very positive compared to, say, you know, their attitudes towards politicians or other occupations we could think of. But farmers don't seem to pick that up. And I think often it's they've got themselves in this kind of mental mindset that nobody wants us, nobody understands us, nobody supports us. So then they don't kind of hear, it's that kind of echo chamber, they don't hear some of those positive messages.
And maybe those messages are hard to hear because it's easier, maybe more natural to focus on the negative messages. But that can especially be a problem if the negative messages are inaccurate, misconstrued or ill-informed. Warwickshire farmer James Keller comes across this a lot.
I see videos all the time. It's always on social media about farmers, you know, carving cows, just, you know, they're pulling with a rope. I see those comments, or you're doing something with a lamb, you know, you're holding the back legs of a lamb to shake the mucus out. People that don't have or don't know the things in farming, that's a very good thing for lambing and carving. You have to use ropes because you haven't got the strength with your arm. You have to use a jack, or you have to shake a lamb from its back legs to get the mucus out of the lungs, or you have to... You know, there's certain things, there's certain practices in farming that we have to do to make sure the care of the animal is perfect that the outside world don't know.
And we'll come to that in a second. Why don't they know? And whose job is it to help them know? But first, Caroline Nye from the Centre for Rural Policy Research on the effect that a bad news story can have on a farmer.
It can be as simple as a TV show that paints farmers in a bad light. And it's to them... It's like being physically punched sometimes, I think. And then obviously you've got all of these other societal shifts like diet. So more and more people becoming vegan, more people becoming vegetarian, more people... I mean, there are so many different diets now, I can't even name them. But that really impacts on somebody who's, you know, put their heart and soul and their family on a generational level has put their heart and soul and time into livestock production, for example.
So it does have an impact on how farmers feel, no doubt about that, and no surprise. And the one thing about negative news is it spreads fast. Here's Annie Wynn from the Addington Fund, and then Philip Watson, who's had long experience of dairy farming, and he's now senior lecturer in agricultural studies at Hartbury University.
The wonders of social media, but then also the bad side of social media, where it only takes one post of a bad farming practice and it's gone all along the world. And then your closest farm gets the blame for it. Oh, well, that's what happens in farming. Farmers don't care for their animals. It's bad animal welfare. I'm going to be a vegetarian. You know, that type of thing. I think it's just like spreads like wildfire sometimes, doesn't it? And that's what I said before, is fighting that public perception of actually, no, you know, we've got the best animal welfare industry in the world. Essentially, the animal welfare. And it's just re-educating, I think, and actually getting people on farmers' side to make them realise that actually without the farmers, you've got no food. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's key to what we do as within the farming industry is to communicate and educate in terms of the good that we're doing and the good that we have done within the industry to produce food that's nutritious and healthy and food security as well and safety, making sure that everybody in the country has access to that. But I don't think that message gets out there enough. And I think there's a disconnect between the consumer and how their food is produced. And I think then when you're working within the industry to produce this food and look after the environment and look after the animals that we work with, I think when we're taking great pride in what we're doing, to see the negative comments coming back that aren't always correct does have a negative impact.
But as we've heard, public support is actually greater than we think. That's not surprising, according to Professor Matt Lobley.
We should be, as a society, we should be celebrating the good things farmers do and recognising their role not just as producers of food, but as managers of the environment. So around about 70% of the surface area of this country is under agricultural land management. So those farmers can have a really big impact on our environment. Now, there are areas where clearly there's room for improvement, but there's also things farmers are doing at the minute that are already really good. So we need to recognise that, and we need to provide praise for farmers for that. We need to publicise that more, and we need to start breaking down some of these divisions that have built up.
Because there's plenty to shout about, according to farmer Stuart Roberts.
What I do know is we're producing food in this country and managing our land in this country. Because actually it's not just about food production, it's also about energy security. It's also about addressing biodiversity, water quality, air quality, carbon. I think we've got it right in this country. And if we're not going to be positive and optimistic about our future, then who the hell do we expect to do that for us?
So how does the farming community go about making sure that people outside farming do understand the issues? Remember, we've heard that actually the public image is pretty good, but the phrase educating the public seems to come up a lot.
The most patronising phrase I ever hear, and it really annoys me, is we need to educate the public. We need to educate consumers. No, we don't actually. Educate them just sounds patronising. What we really need to do is open a dialogue with consumers, open a dialogue with society, understand what modern society expects of us.
Professor Matt Lobley and Dr. Rebecca Wheeler from the Centre for Rural Policy Research agree it's a two-way street.
Farmers will often use the phrase, we need to educate the public, the public need to be educated. And I turn around and I've got a PhD student working on this, who's done a lot of work on this, and actually it needs to be a two-way conversation. You know, farmers need to understand non-farming people and what their issues are and what their concerns are, just as people who don't farm need to understand more about what it's like to be a farmer and some of the challenges and some of the difficulties in being a farmer. So there needs to be more dialogue, more two-way conversations.
And I think the more that we can encourage better engagement between the public and farming, whether that's getting people out on farms, things like Open Farm Sunday that Leaf one, whether it's just doing more direct sales between farmers and the public or farmers markets. I think the more that we can encourage that kind of contact, the better, in terms of reducing that sense of being isolated as a group from wider public.
So actually the reality is there is very much a positive image of British farming. First of all, we don't celebrate that. We don't recognise that ourselves, because we get swallowed by the perception, as you've said, and we've not been great at showing them the accurate image of farming. We need to be more open, you know, and I look at some of the great initiatives, whether it be Open Farm Sunday, whether it be lots of the farms that I know that are opened up to schools, people taking tractors into schools. You know, we've got to be open, because we can't blame somebody else for having a poor perception of us if we're not going to show them the reality.
And Lincolnshire farmer Charles Anion agrees with that.
We are the ones who are mainly responsible for how we're branded. And I do think we need to market ourselves better. And I'm sure we will.
But it's not just about marketing and educating, it's about listening as well. Fifth generation farmer Becca Wilson's podcast series does a bit of both.
So the podcast I run is alongside a girl called Lizzie, who's not from a farming background at all. And that dual perspective is pretty much the reason we started out with the podcast. I had questions for Lizzie as a farmer to a consumer, and she had questions for me as a consumer to a farmer. So I didn't really realise, to be honest, how bad we were as farmers at communicating about what we do. And it's understandable that we've been quite closed book because we're worried about people's perceptions. But actually, I've found transparency gets consumers on board, and they actually really love to hear the ins and outs of farm life. And then I guess for Lizzie, she did have some of those misconceptions about what we do on farms or what stuff really means. And we thought there was a bit of a gap in the market to bring those two perspectives together, to bridge the gap between farmer and consumer. And I guess some of the other elements we want to promote are just what British farmers are actually doing for animal welfare or the environment. If we can be more and more transparent, I'm not saying everybody needs to go and post their daily life on Instagram like I do, but just have that conversation with a consumer, be open-minded, be honest about what we do, and you might be surprised at how kind of I guess, inquisitive they are and how much they want to learn about what we're doing to produce their food.
So maybe we can think about opening up the farm to visitors at a weekend, or direct sales, a farm shop, engaging with people at agricultural shows, or doing your own podcasts or videos. Lots of people do. And here's another idea from Stuart Roberts.
I think you're probably referring to my mysterious pink QR codes. I think it's a great initiative. I would love to see every farm in the country have these, and I'd be very happy. In fact, here's an offer. Any farmer who wants to do this, okay, I will come and do it with you, okay? I'm really happy to. During lockdown, I used to walk around the farm very often. It was the first period where I hadn't been away from the farm all the time. So even though I was doing the NFU stuff, I was on farms. So I walked around the farm a lot more than normal. And I bumped into people. But these are a lot of these people had never been for a walk in this part of the countryside. So they'd often ask me questions. You know, what's that crop? What's it doing for? Why does that hedgerow look scruffy? Why is there nothing planted in that field? Why have those cows not got calves? Okay. And I'd also always answer the questions. So, you know, I'd explain what was going on. I was explaining where that. And ultimately, they're my consumers. They're my customers. If I want them to buy British, then I need to be able to explain what I'm doing on my farm. But I had a moment where I thought, that's fantastic for those 12 people who I have bumped into today, okay? But on a busy bank holiday, I may have 3, 4, 5, 6,000 people walk through my farm. Just so happens to be where I am. I can't talk to them. So what I did is I put up 12 posts all around the farm, and on those posts is a pink QR code. The reason it's pink, I'm not sure, it just stands out, okay? And it asks you to scan the code. So you scan the code and up pops a video of me. And in that video, I am telling you that in this field, we are growing milling wheat, which we hope to sell into these mills, which will end up in bread. And by the way, did you know the rough, scruffy area around the outside is a margin where I am trying to improve water quality or I am trying to improve biodiversity? Another one may say, you know, as you can see, this hedgerow is looking a bit scruffy at the moment. That's because it hasn't been cut for 3 years because I'm increasing the mass of the hedgerow. So it's a better wildlife corridor and I could sequester X times more carbon. They have been brilliantly well received. People love them. All I'm doing there is telling a story. I'm not farming in a better way. I'm not criticizing anyone else. I'm just telling a story of my farm. And I think actually, if I expect consumers to want to buy British produce, they should expect me to tell them the story of why they should buy British produce. We get so many more things right than we get wrong, but lots of us are scared to go and talk to communities that we have not historically engaged in. We've got a great story to tell, and we need to become better storytellers, because actually that's the only way we will get our message across.
Stuart Roberts. Sounds like it might take a bit of upkeeping, but remember, he has offered to help. So, Adam, we heard there that people tend to focus on the negative stories they hear, and I guess that's natural, isn't it?
I think it is. I think it's probably what the press play on as well. It seems to be going across social media as well and those platforms. And farming can often have its, you know, the finger pointed at it for various reasons. But, you know, I genuinely think British farmers produce some of the best food in the world. There's a huge amount of research and development going on in agriculture to make us better at what we do. We don't always get it right, of course. But those fingers being pointed, the bad press, slating on social media, can have a major impact on those individuals who are trying their hardest to farm as best as they can. And the consumer and those people that are doing that need to understand the impact it can have.
So there is obviously quite a bit of misunderstanding out there about what farmers do. How do you get around that? How do you fix it?
I think it has to be through communication. I think it has to be farmers themselves and the farming press and, you know, food producers and the whole food production system needs to be talking and explaining to the consumer where their food comes from, how it's been produced, how much energy and effort goes into producing it.
So it's quite easy for farmers to think that they are undervalued, misunderstood. But actually, polls, when you survey the public, say, actually, we like farmers.
I think that's absolutely right. Yes, if you walk to any town or city and ask people what they think of the British farmer, I think, you know, it'd be a lot of thumbs up. And I think through the media, through a lot of the television programs, radio stations, you know, coffee table magazines, people are really keen to hear about farming, interested about what's going on in the countryside. You know, they want to learn about where their food comes from. There is a disconnect, of course, but I think because food is so readily available in the supermarket, people forget about the energy and effort that goes into producing it. But yes, we're popular and liked, and as farmers, as agriculturalists, we should remember that.
Thank you, Adam. I'm Dominic Arkwright. That's all for now.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Keeping on Track. I hope you found things in it that were helpful for you or someone you know. If you've been affected by anything you've heard today or in any other programme, you can find more information about organisations which can provide help and support by going to teamdoctor.org/farmers. Until the next time, keep on track.